it yet. Hold on.
There we go. Okay, I'm Michael. I'm a meth addict and an alcoholic and a seeker of emotional sobriety, and I have recovered in those areas. I think in the emotional sobriety area, I am recovered and still recovering. There's plenty of areas that come across my radar. Oh, there is an area to work around. There's a spot to look at. So that's where I'm at today. And thanks for letting me share here. My topic for today is page 164. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. So I'll start there and probably read it again a little bit. This part of the book has come up to me a lot in the last couple of weeks. I almost shared on it on a different meeting, but workshops are in four-step right now, so I focused on the four-step. But I got too much four-step going on right now. I wanted to take a break for it. I'm in my inventory too, so it's nice to be here and not be talking about inventory for a moment. Although during the meditation, I wrote down a resentment name, so thanks for that, guys. So when Bill and Bob and the founders or the co-founders finalize this book, what we're talking under 5 years of sobriety, maybe under four, maybe 3 years of sobriety, physical sobriety. I would venture that there's several people on this meeting here that have more annual sobriety or more years of time than the founders of our entire program and the authors of the book, right? So they were humble enough to say on page 164 at the end of most of our step work here, hey, we realize we know only a little, you know? And that's the attitude I want to have today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. There are many times when I've done this and friends have done this and have taken this as if it were a legal document or the Ten Commandments delivered to me to follow every single rule perfectly. And that's actually turned me away from a spiritual path more than it has turned me into a spiritual path to take it that way. This is much more of a living, breathing document for me now. But I've taken it kind of legalistically sometimes, or I hate to say it this way, but too seriously, right? I don't know that I can take my recovered life too seriously when it comes to the life or death matter, but am I trying to be too perfect about the wording here or the practice of how this is, or am I going out into God's world and living, like living with a capital L? Making a few mistakes, making some missteps, asking for guidance, course correction, and then following through with that, either in amends or learning and growing and moving into some new, healthier behavior. Ask them in our morning meditation what we can do each day for those who are still sick. The answers will come if our own house is in order. Obviously, we cannot transmit something we haven't got. See that our relationship with Creator, Source, Spirit of the universe is right. And great events will come to pass for us, all of us. This is the great fact. So, great fact is capitalized there. So, when we're getting to that type of truth, we are as close to God as we can get. I am currently going through the steps again for myself. And I'm turning the statements into questions. I'm taking all the experience that I've brought to the table, and I'm trying to set it aside, even though a lot of it's working, for an open mind and a new experience. And the more I read the literature and ask what it means to me today, the more I discover there's still stuff in there for me and new ways of looking at it. The same paragraph or the same sentence that changed my life. Well, I'm getting old, guys. 20 years ago in sobriety means something different for me today. Or a sentence or a paragraph in the book that I was pretty neutral on. I knew what the paragraph meant then, but it didn't really have a deep and profound effect on me. Today, I can read that paragraph and go, wow, that paragraph's been waiting just for Michael all these years. And I can open up to a new truth or a new perspective of this. I am focused right now And I don't know who else is working on this, but I've heard enough people mention it. It seems to be where some of us are going. I'm really asking God to empower me to start looking at my own addiction to my own thinking. And this is what they're saying here is, Michael, can I have an attitude of, I realize that I know only a little? Or am I still stuck in that addiction to thinking? Like, my opinion, my knowledge of the book, my knowledge of me, my knowledge of my problem, that's important. Well, it might be, but it's not going to take me any farther than I am right now. It's not going to take me any farther than I am right now using the knowledge that I already have on a spiritual path. So, can I have an attitude of, oh, hey, Michael, 21 years of sobriety, and you only know a little. You only know a little. And have kind of a playful, childlike attitude towards that. It's okay to only know a little. I've just made conscious contact, guys. I've just tapped into the infinite. Sure, it's been a 21-year process, but God is infinite, limitless. I've just barely tapped into it, guys. So, do I know enough? Have I already thought all the best thoughts and my mind has got all of it? Or would I like God to show me more? So that is part of my prayer life, at least once a week, sometimes more than once a week. God, show me more. God, show me more. And guess who delivers? God, over and over and over again. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it too much or try and make rainbows and glitter out of a life that includes harshness, difficulty, pain, some hatred, some prejudice, some racism, some old ideas that still come up for me based on the way I was raised. And what's the ones we were working on a couple of weeks ago is unreasoning ones. Like, I don't even have a reason for this thought or this kind of belief, but I'm still stuck with it, guys. I'm still stuck with it, right? So I'm asking God to move me in those areas too. But I have to ask for God's help in these areas because on my own, I'm looking from that thinking, trying to see the thinking that well, you know where I'm going with that guy. So I'm just going to leave that one there to prayer and meditation on your own. The book talks about it, and I think we were looking at how it works, and it mentioned it. The book has all kinds of these things if we start to look at it from my addiction to my own thinking. There was one on this page. Oh, some of us have tried to hold on to our old thinking, and the result was jack shit until Michael let go. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not going to change the truth of my life, but if I can let go of my rigid grip on my thinking and my beliefs, there's a little bit of opportunity for more. When this addictive thinking, when this addiction to self or false self is super strong in a person, when this sort of thinking is fully established in a guy like Michael, I'm probably beyond human aid. How about that? My therapist probably can't help me with some of that then, because that sounds like another human. So, back to the set-aside prayer, guys. Oop. Well, hopefully you can hear me. Okay, good. I just did something here. I'm having computer issues. Obviously, is God warning me, hey, slow down a little bit, Michael. So the set-aside prayer. God, please enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind and a new experience. My thinking, my 12-step recovery, my fellowship, my friends, my heart, God's done some miracles on my heart, and I think there's still some more mi miracles ahead. I'll just mention really quickly some of the ideas that come up for me in the set-aside prayer that are actually pulled right out of the book, because this is a big book awakening meeting. This is a big book focus meeting. Page, 42. Gonna have to throw out some lifelong conceptions, Michael. Yep. As soon as I was able to lay aside prejudice, even a willingness
I can make some growth. I can make some opportunity. Besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, like stubbornly holding on to my old ideas. And this is the one that's coming up for me recently. We talked about it a couple of weeks. Unreasoning prejudice, very resistant to reason. Unreason and prejudice, unreason. So God's going to ask, I'm going to ask God to keep removing all of those and set them aside for that open mind. Then, for many of us, after the drink, the drug, the food, the people, the behaviors, I've missed a couple there, but after we've gone through it a couple of times here, I think we should probably, well, what I needed to do was I needed to read this very last paragraph in the Big Book Awakening booklet. And I think it gives me really good marching orders to go forward when on this trudge. Continue to read and consider the Big Book through 164, looking at your own experience and for instructions. So continue. Continue to ask God for guidance in practicing these principles you've experienced in all of your affairs. Walk with God. So the way I've interpreted this and taken this for myself, and if, try it on, see if you like it. I don't want to change the Big Book Awakening booklet, but this is how I've interpreted it today, is continue to read and consider the Big Book and spiritual literature, looking at my own experience and for instructions. So I take this method now into a lot of other literature, asking myself, do I know what this means and what does it mean for me today? And really trying it on before moving forward. And I, until the Big Book Awakening, I'd never really done that with a book. And, you know, because of the Big Book Awakening too, is I also read from the first blank page all the way through now. I don't skip the forwards and the prefaces anymore, which I did for way, way too long. So I think that's about all I've got today, guys. And it just really is amazing and wonderful to see so many good friends, so many new friends. Like the whole room's filled with people that God has brought into my life. And it's been a good year, guys. I'm feeling the grace and love of not only God, but the people that I was terrified of for years. I used to be terrified of all you guys, and just not so much anymore. And when it happens, the overwhelming amount of love that has been opened up in my heart far exceeds the fear of, you know, well, talking to you guys right now in particular. So, I love you guys. I hope everybody's having a great day. And that's it. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael, thank you so much. It's hard to think that you're afraid of us. Oh my gosh. That's really funny. Okay, let me get the recording turned off.